Good morning. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Glad to be back again. Chapter 12, passage text is chapter 12 of Hebrews 1 through 3, or, well, I'm going to add 4 in there too. Hear the word of the Lord. I don't know if that's me or down more. How's that? That'll go? It's going to go back up. But therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that your spirit would be in our midst today and give us wisdom, open up your word to us so that we can understand it and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm a fan of the... There we go. I'm afraid I'm going to break it, but... There we go. I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers. I might have mentioned this before here, but I grew up in Wisconsin during the 1960s, the glory years of Green Bay football, when the Packers won 3 NFL championships and the first 2 Super Bowls under Vince Lombardi. By the way, did you know that there were NFL championships before the Super Bowl? Yes, there were. In fact, do you know what team has won the most NFL championships? That's right. It's not the New England Patriots, not the Pittsburgh Steelers, not the San Francisco 49ers. It's the Green Bay Packers. 13 championships. The next highest is the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears with 8. Well, anyway, I played a little football myself in junior and senior high school. And I remember how those great players of the Green Bay Packers would inspire my friends and me. When I was a halfback on my freshman team, there was no question what number I would wear. Number 44, because that was Donnie Anderson's number from the Green Bay Packers. Our quarterback, no question what number he would wear. Number 15, Bart Starr's old number. Our middle linebacker wore number 66 because that was Ray Nitschke's number. And other players took the numbers of Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor and Boyd Dollar. And you don't know these people, but they're great guys. Jerry Kramer, Fuzzy Thurston, all the old Packer greats. We drew inspiration from these great players. And that inspiration helped us to play a little better. It made a difference because we felt we were a little bit like those guys. We had to go through similar hardships. And that inspiration helped us to persevere in the mud and the sweat and the sleet and the snow. I was just an average football player, but I think I would have been worse had it not been for that inspiration. The fact that other people have done something that we are attempting to do and have done it well can help us to do better, to keep trying. They inspire us. And this idea of being inspired by others is central to the passage for this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 4. First, let me give a little background. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but it seems clear that the audience was a specific group of Jewish Christians who were slipping away from their faith in Jesus Christ and reverting back to their Jewish way of life. In the past, they had faced persecution. He says in Hebrews 10, "But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." But then he goes right on to say after that, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." The author says that some of these Jewish Christians had completely stopped attending Christian gatherings, worship services or meals or perhaps the Lord's Supper. He says that they are really slow to learn that though they ought to be teachers, they're still infants in the faith. They've not gone on to maturity. They subsist on baby milk instead of the meat of Christianity. He says they need to be more diligent and to imitate the saints who've gone before them. And so the author encourages them in this book to stand firm in the Christian faith. He stresses the superiority of Christianity over Judaism. He reminds them that Jesus is superior to the angels. Jesus is superior to Moses. He's superior to the law. He is superior to the priests and the whole ancient Levitical system of sacrifices. His sacrifice is superior to animal sacrifices, which could not remove sins. And here, at the beginning of chapter 12, he encourages them by describing the Christian life as a race that they and we too must finish. And that's in the text that I read a moment ago. Today, I want you to pay particular attention to three aspects of this race, which is the Christian life, which they ran, and which you as a Christian are now running. First, the instructions for running well. Second, the inspiration for running well. And third, the strength for running well. So first of all, the instructions for running well. Well, notice that the race marked out for us is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. You may have just begun the race. You may have been running for a long time. But it is a long race, and you're constantly running. You can't get off the track. The race isn't over at the end of the day. It's not over when you come home from school or work. It doesn't end on Friday. It's not run just on Sundays. It doesn't stop for vacation. It doesn't stop for retirement. It requires endurance and constant attention. And in order to endure, we must throw off extra weight. We must lay aside the things that hinder us and the sin which so easily entangles. This imagery of laying aside extra weight or things that might entangle was meaningful to a runner in the first century. You can't win a race if you're carrying a heavy object. I've seen people train with weights attached to their wrists and ankles. Once I saw a very muscular man jogging with a barbell, and as he was jogging, he was doing curls. These are excellent things for conditioning, but only a fool would carry them into a race. The imagery of sin, which easily entangles us, suggests a long gown that might catch on something, trip us up. And so we must remove the gown. In fact, the ancient runners ran with little or nothing on. To run the race well, we must throw off whatever hinders us or entangles us. When I was a young man, about 2 years ago, I might have mentioned this before, but I took a 2,000-mile bicycle trip from California to Wisconsin. And a friend gave me some valuable advice about packing my panniers. That's these bags that you attach to your bicycle, and they carry everything you need. And he said, pack the bags as light as you can, and then wait 2 days. Then go back through them again and start throwing stuff out ruthlessly. Do I really need a can of insect repellent? Do I really need a belt that has a heavy buckle? Do I need a third pair of shoes? How much food and water do I really need to carry? What things are essential? What things will hinder my progress? For I have a long way to go. What things hinder our progress? What things weigh us down in this race? The Christian Jews to whom Hebrews was written were drifting back to Judaism, their former way of life. But why? Well, when you think about it, life must have been really hard for Jewish Christians in the first century. Maybe their Jewish neighbors shunned them, wouldn't talk to them, wouldn't sell goods to them or purchase goods from them. Maybe they weren't permitted to enter the synagogue. Maybe their families cut them off and refused to invite them to family gatherings. And always hanging over their heads was the sword of persecution, confiscation of possessions, imprisonment, torture, and death. It would be so much easier just to quit being a Christian. Their weights and their entanglements might be those things which came from lack of faith and hope. Maybe things like fear, anxiety, insecurity, the desire to go back to a life of comfort, a life of ease, a life of social acceptance, which they could have if they renounced Christ. But these things must be thrown away, thrown off. And what about us? What weights keep us from running as well as we could run? The Christian life isn't easy for us either. In fact, it's supposed to be a radical undertaking. Following Christ means bearing a cross. Our weights might be the love of money. Maybe the desire for success, selfish ambition, clinging to possessions, the desire for reputation or honor, achievements, appearance. These weights can slow us down or hinder us from staying the course. Maybe we've known about these weights for a long time, yet we've chosen to run the race with them rather than without them. Maybe we've grown comfortable with these weights, no longer trying to lay them aside. And there's also the ongoing war against the sin which can easily entangle us. This battle will rage for as long as the race lasts. But we should never become complacent about sin. We should study out the roots of our sinful behavior, find out what fuels sinful behavior and try to root it out at the core. Peel back the layers of the stinking onion until we get to the center. Second, the inspiration for running well. The author of Hebrews wants us to know that this race of endurance, in which we must take up the struggle against the weights in our lives, the hindrances, is a race that others have finished successfully. And we can draw inspiration from those who've gone before us. We run the race surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews tells us about these witnesses in chapter 11, right before this passage. These heroes who conquered their fears, their sins, their hardships, and finished the race. Let me just read a portion of Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 32. He's already talked about Abraham. He's already talked about Joseph and Moses. And now he picks it up at the end. He says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." This is that cloud of witnesses that the author says surrounds us. We can be inspired by them to run our own race better. We don't run our race on a treadmill in the basement. This race is run as though in a stadium filled with those who once were on the track themselves. Look at them and be inspired. Going back to high school, when I was in high school, I also participated in track. Probably think I didn't study much, which I didn't, but I did like sports. Well, I was a sprinter, and I remember on the wall of my high school gymnasium, there was a set of plaques honoring all the track record holders from my school. And when I worked out in the gym, I would look up at those plaques and I saw those names and I found some inspiration to keep practicing. Since I was a sprinter, I really liked the plaques dedicated to Bobby Kuchenmeister, who had run and set the record in the 100 and 220 yard dashes. And I still remember that he ran the 100 yard dash in 10 seconds flat. I remember that Bobby set those records in the year that I was born. And no one had broken them. I remember that Bobby was a kid born and raised in my own hometown. He was a real guy. I never met him. My older brother met him once. He was real. And his achievements helped me to try a little harder. Remember the saints who have gone before you. As you struggle to lay aside your own weights and your sins, the realization that someone else has made it through something can help us make it through the same thing. If they did it, we can do it. Some of you may be weighed down with anxiety, maybe uncertainty about the future. Remember Abraham? He was called to leave his home and go to a promised land, and he didn't even know where he was going and what he would face when he got there. He finished the race. Some of you might be afraid to do the right thing. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who faced a fiery furnace, or Daniel, who faced a den of lions. Some of you may have grown too attached to material things, too comfortable with your possessions. Remember Moses, who refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh and regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Some of you may have stumbled badly in sin, and you're weighed down with guilt. Remember that David fell too. He was guilty of murder and adultery, and yet God restored him, and he can restore you too. And then there is Jesus himself. He was on the track too, and he finished the race without fault, even though he was tempted in every way. Remember how Jesus in the garden struggled to the point where his sweat became as drops of blood. Remember Jesus when he hung on the cross and cried out in agony, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's other saints too gone before you and have kept the faith and finished the race. Your grandparents, maybe. Your mom, or your dad, a brother, a sister, or a friend, a pastor. And all these witnesses lived by faith and hope. In this life, they did not receive the things promised, they saw them from a distance. They were aliens and strangers on the earth. They were looking for a country of their own, a better country, a heavenly country that God had prepared for them. They had to throw off their own weights and struggle with their own sins just as we do. And they made it. They finished. They have entered the Sabbath rest. And we too run by faith and hope. Jesus looked ahead to the joy set before him, and so should we. The hopes that we have for things in this life always disappoint us, but we hope for a better country where there is joy without end. Keep your faith and hope alive. Live by them. Stay the course through them. And finally, consider the strength for running well. When you think of the weights and the sins that we wrestle with, which we are to lay aside, we wonder, how can I do it? We say, I don't believe that I will ever rid myself of this particular sin or this particular burden. I'm no Abraham. I'm not a Shadrach. I'm not a Moses. I'm not a Daniel. But remember, the witnesses who went before us were real, flesh and blood, ordinary human beings. They weren't like the cartoon characters you see in a Sunday school book. They were as frail and weak and sinful as you and I are. The source of our strength is the same as theirs. We're strengthened by Jesus, the author and the perfecter of the faith. Paul says that he who began the good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. It is he who works within you both to will and to do. Deism is a doctrine that there is a supreme being who created the universe, but who does not intervene with his creation. God got everything started, including the creation of humanity, and then he left us here to fend for ourselves. He's indifferent to us. He doesn't get involved in human affairs. Of course, Christians reject deism. We believe not only that God created, but he is also continuously involved in our lives and in everything that happens in creation. It's the same way with this race that we run. Jesus is the author of our faith. He began the good work in you. From love, He called you. You, before the foundation of the universe, while you lay dead in sin, He gave you new life. He gave you a second birth. He gave you faith and hope. Now, having done all that, He doesn't put you on the racetrack, pat you on the behind, and then abandon you. Leave you to yourself. Expect you to finish the race on your own. No. This should be of great comfort. We are not our own. We belong to Him. We only fail to finish the race if He fails. And He doesn't fail. He already died and rose from the dead. And we died in Him and rose in Him. The end of the race and the reward is certain. Our inheritance is guaranteed. We are His workmanship. He will teach us to lay aside the heavy weights. He will overcome sin in us, through us, with us. This is a strange sort of race that we run. In just about every other race, it seems, the end is uncertain. Who will win? The fastest runner may stumble and lose, and the slowest could win. Who will finish? The strongest runner might become ill and not even make it to the end, but the weakest will finish, though it may take a long time. But in the race that we run, which is all that matters, the outcome is already certain. We will finish the race. So we stay the course. We keep up the good fight. We keep on running, looking ahead. Ahead to Jesus, knowing that in the end we will become more than conquerors through Him. In a Roman prison near the end of his life, Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy. It is the last of Paul's writings. His death is imminent. It seems as though it's about to happen at any time. Tradition says that he was beheaded. He's run the race now for a long time. He's battled sin and endured harsh persecution. And now he stands at the end of the race. He's about to cross the finish line, and he says to Timothy, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to those who have loved His appearing. You are in that same race. And it's a long race. Some of you have just started. Others have been running a long time. And some of you, like Paul, may be near the end. There are many things that can impede your progress. Some things weigh you down, even now, as you run. Stay the course. Take off the things that hinder you. Some of those heavy things in your life have been neglected, maybe for a long time. Renew the struggle today. Worldlings prize their gems of beauty, cling to gilded toys of dust, boast of wealth and fame and pleasure. And only Jesus will I trust. Since mine eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. Fix your eyes straight ahead, looking to Jesus. Jesus who purchased you with his own blood. Jesus who began the good work in you. Jesus who right now is your leader and your perfecter. Call upon his name for strength today and for tomorrow and for the next day and the next day and the next. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for these words of encouragement from the author of Hebrews, and we pray that for each of us in our own running of this race with our own burdens, our own weights, our own sins, that you would strengthen us through Christ. Give us evidences of making progress. Help us to continue to fight the fight of laying aside things that slow us down or keep us from focusing on you. Help us to run the race well, all the way to the end. Help us to keep our faith and our hope alive, to see us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.